If you would turn with us to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I'll read our text tonight and ask for the Lord's help. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Tonight I'd like to preach on the subject of the importance of the Scriptures. The importance of the Scriptures. God has showed me this many times and time again, how important the Scriptures are to our Christian walk. How important it is to be in the Word of God. And tonight I'd like to reinforce that tonight in our hearing the importance of the Scriptures. Help us pray tonight. God, we thank You, Lord, for allowing us to be in this place. And Lord, we ask tonight, Lord, that You'd have Your will and way. And God, You've already manifested Yourself, Lord, tonight. And we ask that You continue, God, to help us. And God, continue, Lord, to speak to us through the precious Word of God. And Lord, we want to thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'd like to give a little bit of background just to help us understand the context of this passage that we're looking at here. It's a very affectionate epistle, I find, as I read it here, Paul writing to Timothy. He says there in verse number 2 of chapter 1, "My dearly beloved son." And it would make sense that he would want to place much emphasis on what he is saying, because we find in chapter number 4, this will be the last writings of the inspiration that was canonized in the Scriptures of the Apostle Paul, because he gives us the statement that the time of his departure was at hand. And so God gave him the discernment to know he's nearing the end of his walk of life. And we see here that he had these things to say to Timothy. He tells him on multiple occasions throughout this epistle about remembrance. In verse number 3 of chapter 1, he says, "I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers." And so he's stressing to him about the remembrance of what God has done. By the way, talking about the storms of life, what will help you when you face that immediate storm in your life is look back on the ones that God's already brought you through. And I tell you something about the God that we serve. He can bring you through that. He can bring you through whatever's going on right now. Amen. God is a God that proves Himself time and time again. He did that to the children of Israel. He proved Himself. And He showed them that He was the one that's in control. I'm afraid sometimes we attribute some of these things to the devil. Say the devil's been robbing me. The devil's been doing this. Well, if it's temptation, yes, it's of the devil. But sometimes the trials and afflictions that we go through is designed by God to help us trust Him and to help us have a closer walk with Him and understand His will. And so this idea of remembering and calling to remembrance here shows us that Paul hadn't unhitched, even in these later years of his life here, he hadn't unhitched from the burden it takes to preach in the ministry and the burden that he had for God's people. We've been studying in the book of Colossians, and we can certainly see the burden that he had for those dear people there. And we can see the burden that he had here for Timothy and those people that he was ministering to there. He talks about in chapter number 2 and verse 3 about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he's given them that instruction. And of course, we find that this is his last words recorded in the Scriptures, in the Word of God. Now this morning, our pastor preached on the subject of prayer. And I don't think that we could preach too much upon the subject of prayer. I'll stand and say that he's not the only preacher that feels like he has failed in that area of his Christian walk. I feel the same way. And tonight, I'm asking the Lord to help me in that area, and that we would get back into that place like we ought to concerning prayer. Tonight, though, I'd like to preach this subject that I'm preaching on, I believe, is a companion subject, and that of the Scriptures. If we studied at one point in time there in the book of Daniel, chapter number 10, about Daniel's 70 weeks of prophecy. And let me tell you something. When it comes to prophecy, that was something big. And it was a very significant time in the Word of God. It was a very significant time in the Scriptures. And as we look back, it really set in motion the prophecy concerning the nation of Israel and them regathering into the land and telling us how that these events is going to take place and how they're going to happen. But prior to that, yes, we know it's Daniel as a praying man. He is noted for his prayer. There's songs been written about Daniel in his prayer. But friend, there in Daniel chapter number 10, you can go read it for yourself. He was doing something else as he was praying. He was reading from the books of the prophet Jeremiah and seeing what Jeremiah had to say about the matter. And so tonight I'd like to add that I believe it's important to pray, but it's also important to read the Word of God. It's important to study the Scriptures. And so tonight I believe that we need to look at the importance of the Scriptures. I'm not trying to add to or take away or anything from what was preached this morning. I'm just saying they go hand in hand, the preaching of the Scriptures and the importance of that in our Christian walk. And so we see it, some of the things that the Apostle Paul had went through. In chapter number 3, he begins to tell us about the perilous times that shall come. And let me tell you something tonight. We don't have to look it for any further or look for any more fulfillment of the perilous times to come, because I believe perilous times have come. Can anybody say amen tonight? The Bible says in chapter number 3 and verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." Boy, you could preach 10 messages just on that subject right there, and the subject of how that people today are lovers of themselves, giving no care for anybody else. You can drive on Stone Drive and tell that nobody cares about anybody but theirself, amen, about the time you get run over. Let me tell you something. People are only concerned about themselves. But friend, let me tell you something. I serve a God that is a whosoever God, amen. And so men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. And so he gives us this description of the perilous times that will come. And then he goes on to tell us about some of the persecutions that he faced there. And in verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions which came to me at Antioch and Iconium at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me." Now listen to this promise. We like to cling to the promises of the Word of God, don't we? We like the promise of "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." We like the promise of "He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." But I'll just be the bearer of bad news tonight. There are some other promises in the Word of God too, because God is honest with us tonight. And He says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That means, friend, if you at the best that you can do, let me tell you something about this prosperity gospel. It is a false gospel. You can't live good enough. You can't. I'm all for living clean and pure and holy, but friend, the troubles will still come no matter what. But I will add this tonight and say this. Friend, I'd rather face those persecutions. I'd rather face those trials and knowing that God is with me and knowing that God is going to help me than to face it alone out in the world, lost without God. The Bible tells us that the way of transgressors is hard. Oh, friend, it's a hard way being a sinner. Oh, the world glorifies it. The world magnifies it. They make it out to be something special. They make it out to be something that's attainable and something that's worth having. Let me tell you some of the ways of this world. It ends in death. And friend, the world needs to know that. Sinners need to know that. Amen, tonight. And so he tells us of these persecutions, the afflictions that he went through. And friend, don't be deceived tonight to think that it's going to get better. Old people think that, oh, this politician is going to fix everything. This politician is going to fix everything. This preacher can fix everything. This preacher can fix everything. This policy will fix everything. This will fix this or this will fix that. Friend, I've got the news for you tonight. It's going to do nothing but get worse and worse. That's what the Bible teaches, amen. It'll get worse and worse. And so don't think the devil, when it comes to his ways and his tactics, don't think that he's going to let up. But I'm glad there's hope in the Word of God. I'm glad that we've got something to cling to. What did Paul have to say to Timothy concerning these things when the evil men seducers wax worse and worse deceiving and being deceived? He says, continue thou. What are we going to do when those persecutions and those afflictions and the times of ridicule come? We're going to continue in the Word of God. We're going to continue in the Scriptures. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And so regardless of what comes our way, by the grace of God, we will continue. But you know, tonight us as human beings, we have the nature of taking the easy way out. We have the nature of letting down the guard and doing what's easy. I'll say tonight, continuing is not easy. It's contrary to the flesh. It's contrary to the world system and what's out there today. It's contrary to what's popular. It's contrary sometimes to family. It's contrary sometimes to friends. But friend, I believe the God will give us the ability and the grace to continue. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You see, we have that capability. Lose our steadfastness. Lose our stand on things, on the Word of God. I'm a believer, friend, that as a young man of God, as a young preacher, that I can still have the stance and still have the standards by the grace of God that the old timers did. Amen. I believe God will help us to do that. And so even though it's the human nature to have the same, to take the path of least resistance, we ought to pray that God give us the grace to press on and continue in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of. Now notice he says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I believe there's two specific people that we could point to here in Timothy's life. That was an example to him. If you turn with me in chapter number 1 in verse 5, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. He says, I want you to know of whom thou hast learned them. In other words, there's great significance in who was involved in your upbringing. Now, before I get into this tonight, I want to say there's some folks that's made 10 times better Christians than I ever will that didn't have a right upbringing. These people, friend, they serve the God with gladness, and sometimes, friend, it seems that they serve the Lord with even more zeal when they don't have that background. They don't have that, but friend, us that do, and us that were taught growing up, I believe we owe it to them, and we owe it to the ones that we can influence to help them along the way, just as his grandmother and his mother was an influence to Timothy. And friend, what the impact that made on his life. And friend, imagine the prayers that were made for Timothy, young Timothy growing up, that God would use him and that God would save him. And he's pointing back to that. He says, don't forget about the background that you had and your family that prayed for you and your family that took you to church and wanted to see you saved. Friend, that is worth something tonight. I want our son, I want him to hear the preaching of the Word of God. I want him to see the saints lift up their hands. Yeah, some of y'all got to see him our Wednesday night. He was raising those hands. You know what? He'd been seeing some of you over here sitting raising his hands. Amen. Sister Linda, he'd been watching her raise her hands and shout. Amen. They ain't putting on no show. They ain't no put on to it. They're just worshiping God. And he's in his mind, he said, I want to worship too. Amen. God sees that. Praise God. That's something that he's not one day after a while going to say, my, what's going on here? He's going to see that people worship God. And that he has an example. I'm not ashamed of our folk here at Bible Way, the people that serve the Lord as an example before our family and your family. And friend, that's us, how we as God's people bind together. We hold one another accountable and we're examples to one another. When one's down, we lift up that one. When this one's down, we lift up that. And friend, we just help one another by the grace of God. And He's saying, remember, you had that in your life. You wouldn't be the preacher you are today if it wasn't for your mother and your grandmother. It's kind of what He's telling him. He's saying, remember those things and look back upon that. And He says, remember and knowing of whom thou hast heard them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Let me preach to the children workers some tonight. You that labor and you that, amen, wrangle those kids up and teach them Sunday school and teach them the Word of God. And you get them together. Friend, you teach them the Word of God. And sometimes you feel like it's going in one ear and out the other. But friend, let me tell you something. Just like Timothy, you're an example to those kids. And once in a while, friend, and we get to see it, one of those kids will walk the aisle down the altar and get saved, amen. And God will give you a boost, and you'll say, hey, what we're doing is doing something. It's giving them the Word of God. And friend, you won't go wrong giving a child the Word of God, teaching them the Scriptures. He said, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And so why is that so important? Why are the Scriptures so important? Because the Bible says, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The Scriptures are so important. It's because it points and produces salvation. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And friend, am I thinking's right? Am I believing's right on the Bible? You can't get saved without the Bible, amen. You can't get saved without the Scriptures. It takes the Word of God. That's why the Scriptures is so important. How do you think we're going to be able to live as Christians? How are we going to be able to operate? How are we going to be able to know right from wrong? It's going to be out of this book. It's going to be out of the Scriptures and out of the Word of God. How are we going to have revival? How are we going to see a movement of God? How the Scriptures, how the Word of God. The importance of the Scriptures. And friend, we need to see the importance of that in our life and how that it points to salvation. He told them there, he said, that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I look back, and I believe Coulter preached on this. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter number 12. The importance of the Scriptures. Genesis chapter number 12. This is just as God is delivering Abraham at the time, Abram, out of the Ur, the Chaldees. God is giving him promises, telling him that he's going to bless him, that he'll curse those that curse thee, and he and thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And in verse number 5 of chapter 12, he says, and Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. Notice that word souls. They gathered those souls in Haran. And so along with all the goods that he had those souls. Now turn with me over there, if you will, to chapter number 14 and verse number 21. And we see here his interaction with the king of Sodom. We know that he had paid tithes unto Melchizedek. But now as he approaches the king of Sodom, he says, verse 20, and blessed be the Most High God which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Verse 21, and the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Those souls that God had given him and the souls that were with him is what the devil was interested in. You can keep your goods. You can keep your stuff. But friend, the devil wants the souls. And friend, the devil is not, like I said, he's not going to let up. He wants the soul of every young person, every child in this building tonight. He wants them to die and go to hell. But friend, let me tell you something. How are we going to combat that? We're going to continue in the things which we've been learned and assured of. We're going to continue in the Word of God. We're going to continue preaching. We're going to continue teaching the Scriptures. Amen. To those souls that stand in need of God. The devil's interested in the soul. Let me tell you something. There's a God in heaven that's interested in the soul too. The Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And, okay, so here in our text, through faith which is in Christ Jesus, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Hey, we joke about this all the time, brother. You know what all means in the Greek, don't you? Amen. It means all. Amen. And if you will, look with me there in 1 Timothy chapter number 5. You know, we don't think about it much because we believe the Bible is the Word of God, don't we? We believe the Old Testament is just as much the Bible as the New Testament. It's the Word of God. But at the time of this writing, I believe there would have been some people that might have struggled with this. You know, they may have just recognized the Hebrew Bible. And these apostles come along and they don't know if they ought to take their words or not. You know, they don't know if they need to listen to them or not. But God's trying to tell them that all Scripture, including what God gave the apostles to pen down, is the Word of God and is the Scripture. And so 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 18, for the Scripture saith, okay, so he's referencing Scripture, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth the corn, out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward. Now those two different texts mentioned there, one is the Old Testament, that first there, about the muzzling the ox, that's Deuteronomy 25 and 4. And then the labor is worthy of his reward, that is Luke chapter number 10 and verse 17. So in one verse there, he's referencing the Old Testament and the New Testament all at the same time. And you know what? He says it's Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every single word in this old King James Bible. By the way, I said King James Bible. If you speak English and you don't have a King James Bible, you don't have a Bible. Amen. You need a King James Bible is the only Word of God for an English speaking people. God promised in Psalm chapter number 12, he says in verse number 6, for the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. You go to playing around with the Scriptures, you're saying God's a liar. You're saying God doesn't have the ability to preserve His Word for an English-speaking people. And all them years, well, was it 300 and some years that the King James Bible was the only English Bible available to most people out of all them years that God didn't have His Word available to mankind and to an English-speaking people, and then all of a sudden somebody shows up and starts monkeying around with the Scriptures. I thank God by the grace of God that He showed me through the Word of God that this is the Word of God. And friend, if we don't have this book to rely upon, what are we going to rely upon? Amen. Thank God for the Scriptures. And so he's saying all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's the same Word, friend, that spoke the world into existence. The young'uns is learning that verse in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And praise God, He spoke it into existence. And friend, that is the Word that spoke that world into existence. It's the same Word of God that brought into the nostrils of Adam and man became a living soul. And friend, it's that same voice of God and the same breath of God, hey, that spoke to Lazarus one day and said, Lazarus, come forth. And praise God, it was the same voice that spoke to me one day and showed me my lost condition. Sister Lynn, that same voice you talked about over there Wednesday night, that conviction power of God that was upon those men, you know how they could preach and preach in the anointing? It's because of this book. The reason you was under conviction is because they was preaching what was in this old book. They was preaching what was in this Bible. And friend, that's what we need today, is the preaching of the Word of God. The importance of the Scriptures. How much of it? All of it. All Scripture. All 66 books of this Bible is the Word of God. Hey, and don't forget that Jesus and the Word of God are the same thing. In the beginning was the Word. And then the Bible says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. He is the Word of God. And so here it says that is given by inspiration of God. Now that word given by inspiration, you do some word study there and you'll find that it means two words. It means God and it means breathe. The Word of God that you hold in your lap tonight is the very God-breathed words of God. It is given by inspiration of God. God said, I'm going to give you my word. I'm going to give it to you. It is going to be true. It's going to be right, and you can rely upon it. And notice what else he says about all scripture. It is profitable. The word profitable means to be helpful or serviceable. We're going to need help in these last days, ain't we? Let me speak for myself. I'm going to need help. I got help this morning. You know, it come from the Word of God. That's what we're going to need. We don't need lights and shows and all kinds of... We need the Word of God. And thank God we get fed here at Bible Way Baptist Church. We get the man of God to take the precious soul book and take a text and preach the Word of God. That's what's going to help us. That's what's profitable. That's what's going to help us. In 2 Peter, we find that Peter is giving us an overview of what happened at the Mount Transfiguration. He talks about how that he was eyewitness of all that. And they saw Christ in His glory. They saw His face shine. They witnessed signs and wonders and miracles and all those things. And sometimes we might fantasize and say, boy, what a revival we'd have if God would just show up visibly and we could see Him. But what I see in the Scriptures, that wouldn't help us none. He'd give us all we need. And so we see here that, and Peter said, for we received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. I believe this is the Word of God. The canonized Scriptures, the 66 books of this Bible, is that prophecy He was talking about. He said, hey, we've got folks that have witnessed his advent, the death, burial, and the resurrection, people that physically saw those things. He said, but we've got something better even coming. We've got the complete Word of God. And you and I have that tonight. What did He tell Thomas? He said, blessed are those who have seen and believe, but more even blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's us. That's our crowd tonight. We've not seen Him with our physical eyes, even though one day we believe just like Job did, we will see Him. But we've not seen Him yet. We believe that one day we will. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Hey, don't think that these men, Moses and all of them, was just arbitrarily writing things down. Friend, they know they was under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God. God was speaking to them. They was hooked up with God, and they pinned down exactly what God gave them. We have the Word of God in that fashion, and thank God that He's made it available to you and I. And so it is profitable. Not only that, it is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is what's right. We need to be taught what's right. Amen. We need that in the home. We need that in the church. The Bible says that judgment must begin at the house of God. We don't need lawmakers to tell us what's right and wrong. They need to come in here and ask us what's right and wrong. And we just point them to the book. Amen. Say, hey, killing babies is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. They have no business saying that that's right or wrong. Amen. We know according to the Bible those things are wrong. And it's based upon the Scriptures. You see the importance of the Scriptures, doctrine, what's right. And so we believe in having a church, a Bible, New Testament church that teaches and preaches the Word of God. And He tells us in chapter number 4 of a time in which folks will get away from the sound teaching and preaching of the Word of God. He says, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And so He's telling of a time in which folks will turn away their ears from the truth. That's why we as God's people, not only just preachers, but God's people, need to rightly divide the Word of God. And He told them that in chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You see, He just got done telling them there in chapter number 1 about those in Asia that had turned away from Him. Folks that have turned away from the truth. We're seeing a lot of that today. People turning away from the truth. Baptist churches turning away from the truths of the Word of God that we need to stay with. And he's teaching them. He mentions there in chapter 1 and verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words. Amen. We need sound words. We need sound doctrine. You know what sound doctrine produces? It produces stability. It produces assurance. It produces godly, clean living. It produces separation from the world. You wonder why that these churches out there today, I understand there's not going to be a perfect church. And even though you got the best church in the world, there'll still be somebody not doing right in that church. But for the most part, I believe a lot of the reason why these people that go to church on Sunday and they live like the devil the rest of the week is they're not exposed to Bible doctrine preaching. It says, hey, this is right and this is wrong. And you need to know, amen. And so doctrine, what's right? It produces a certain way of life. And it's proper for doctrine, for reproof. Reproof is what's not right. Just as well as we need to hear what's right, we need to hear what's not right. As we talked in the Sunday school class this morning, in that text that we read about rightly dividing the word of truth, that needs to be a rightly divided ministry, or a balanced ministry, in which you take the good and the bad, you preach heaven and hell, you preach wrath and mercy, you preach it all together, and you preach it in a balanced way. That's what he's saying. You need to know what doctrine is. Know what reproof is. You see, if you get up and all you do is reprove, 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 you're not going to have a message that's going to help anybody. If all you get up is edify, 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 then you're not going to help anybody. But it's a balanced ministry that he's telling him of here. The word reproof comes from a word, and it talks about proof or conviction or evidence. Conviction is the notification of wrongdoing. The Bible teaches us that that is the work of the Holy Spirit. He's come to reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit not only convicts the sinner and says, hey, you need to get saved. He tells the Christian, say, hey, that's not right. See, that's reproof. Say, hey, what you're doing is not right. God deals with His children in that way, doesn't He? Does He ever speak to you that way and say, hey, this morning, God was on me this morning. Say, hey, you need to get this right. You need help right here, amen. I'm glad for a God that does that for you and I. I'm glad for a God that gives us convictions. Now, I know you can over-magnify your convictions. You can place your convictions on everybody else. And we're not all going to have the same convictions about certain particular things. But I worry about a Christian that doesn't have any convictions at all. Amen. God is going to give you certain convictions. God's going to give you, say, hey, I want to please the Lord. And God has showed me that I need to do this. I need to live this way if I want to have a pure and a clean and a holy testimony. And God will deal with us in those things. And so reproof, that's what's not right. Notification of wrongdoing. Does the Word of God reprove you? Does the Word of God convict you? Does it motivate you to change some things? Okay, and so reproof for correction. Correction is how to get it right. I'm glad that we serve a God that just doesn't leave us hanging and saying, here's what's right, here's what's wrong, you figure it out yourself. That's not the God that we serve. We serve a God that gives us a book. Give us the Scripture. Say, hey, here's what's right, here's what's wrong, and here's how you can get it right. You can pray, praise God. You can study the Word of God. You can take it to the Lord in prayer, and you can give it to Him, and God is going to help you. What did God do to the children of Israel time and time again? He said, change your ways. Amend your ways, Jeremiah said. Get things right with God. He always had a man of God to, if you saw sin happen in the nation of Israel, most of the time the next chapter, it start out something like this. And God spoke, and the Lord said, and God would take a man of God and send His word to them to show them how to get it right. You see, God doesn't just automatically judge for sin. If that was the case, we'd all be in hell. God gives you a chance to get it right. We're not guaranteed another opportunity though. We're not guaranteed one more second, friend. He gives us a chance to get things right with Him. I'm glad that He does that tonight. Okay, lastly, for instruction. in righteousness. That is how to keep it right. That's what I was talking about as we opened up. I believe a big part of that is serving the Lord. We think about going to church and going through the motions and this and that. But there's a reason why God burdens the heart of our pastor to preach the Word of God time and time again. And it's because it has a purpose. Because the Word of God has a purpose in helping us to keep it right in our heart. Keep the Word of God hidden in our heart. But friend, if that's all we live on, what we hear come out of this pulpit, we could hear the best preaching in the world, and we do. But friend, if that's all we got, we're going to starve to death as Christians. That's why we need the Word of God. And so the same question that we heard this morning about prayer, if we added together the time that we spent praying, where would we stand? I would ask the question, if we added the time together that we spent in the Scriptures this week, where would we stand tonight? Would we feel about that tall, about like I did this morning? Or would we be excited about knowing that we really studied it out this week and we got help in the Scriptures? Amen. I pray tonight that God would show us as Christians that we're living in perilous times. If there's ever a time we need to be in the Scriptures and in the Word of God, it's now. Seeking the Lord's will for our lives. Seeing where He would correct us and how He would make us into the Christian He wants to be. Not to be this lovers of self that we saw here of an indicator of the last times. Not get caught up in all this, all those things. But to be concerned about what the Lord would have for us in our life. Amen. Let's pray tonight. God, we thank You. God, for the privilege of being in Your house once again. And Lord, we don't take it for granted. You've given us health tonight and strength to be able to be here. But Lord, as the message tonight, we want to thank You for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for giving us a light in a dark world. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Lord, help us to hide the words of God in our heart that we might not sin against You. We bless You and thank You tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.